Bulletproof Radio, a state of high performance.
You're listening to Bulletproof Radio with Dave Asprey.
Hey there, ice bath lovers. Do you want to take your cold exposure game up a notch with some contrast therapy? Well, you should, because cold plunges and contrast therapy can lower stress, up your immunity, and even help you sleep better. It works better than just cold therapy alone. Well, now you can do that with the new Michael Phelps Chili Goat Cold Tubs by Master Spas. Whether you want to relax in a hot soak or get energized with a cold plunge, the Michael Phelps Chili Goat Cold Tub has you covered. You can easily hop out of the hot water, get in the cold water, and go back and forth. When you do that, you get better results in less time, and that's what biohacking is all about. Go to chiligoattubs.com, use promo code DAVE500, and you can save $500 on any Chili Goat cold tub. I have one in my backyard. That's chiligoattubs.com, promo code DAVE500. Quick question for you. What makes you feel more invigorated, less stressed, and more in control of your body? The answer, more energy. Specifically, more quantum energy, because our bodies are quantum systems. Leela Quantum Tech has figured out a way to harness quantum energy so you can reach a state of vibrancy that you've probably never felt. Dozens of studies show that Leela Q's products neutralize the effects of harmful EMFs around us and even release positive energy that can improve your blood flow, optimize your heart rate, and other benefits. Leela Q has some heavy science backing it up. A recent study looked at people who use Leela Q for just 10 minutes. The study used a special blood illumination technique called dark field microscopy, and it showed significant protective and improvement effects on blood flow. So take a quantum leap into higher vibration at LeelaQ.com/Dave and claim your exclusive 10% discount.
Everyone, it's Dave Asprey with Bulletproof Radio. Today's cool fact of the day is that we've always assumed your height is genetic, and it sort of is. But new research shows that it's only about 80% genetic and the other 20% is nutrition and environmental factors. Better nutrition is something that we think is a reason that average height keeps increasing, but you might argue, and I probably would, that it's improved access to food. And since we eat more now, it's not necessarily that we're getting more nutrition. And as for the genetics, it looks like there's about 697 gene variants that impact your height. So if you're short, there's great hope for your children, but for you, well, you're probably still short.
Everyone's talking about red light therapy beds, and for good reason. There's a company called ARRC LED that's building an entirely new class of LED devices. ARRC LED beds integrate proprietary scanning technology and frequency protocols to shape the delivery of six different wavelengths in dose-optimized photobiomodulation. Yes, that's a lot of words. What it is, though, is that photobiomodulation improves the underlying energetics of the cells in your body. And those changes can benefit nearly every tissue and organ and system in your body. You change your cells and you change your life. For more information, visit arrcled.com.
Likewise, if you're tall and you don't fit an economy section, that would be me. There's no hope for you either. But hey, there are worse things than being tall. Today's guest is Holly Thompson, who's the creator of Nutritional Style, which is a health and nutrition blog and consulting company. She's a certified health coach and health professional, and a Myers-Briggs practitioner, which is really interesting. She's also a raw food chef. And if you've listened for a while, you know that I've been a raw vegan, that I'm not a raw vegan today, but that I've used a lot of the raw vegan cooking techniques that I worked on in some of the Bulletproof recipes as well. You can find Holly at hollythompson.com, and you'll also see her writing on Mind Body Green. By the way, shout out for those guys. They're good friends. The Daily Love, Hey Mastin, love you back, and lesscancer.org. Awesome, Holly. You write for good people. But most importantly, you can check out Discover Your Nutritional Style, which is a new book that Holly released, and I just had a chance to look at an advanced copy. So, Holly, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
So you've been a kind of former big time New York City corporate type who moved to the country and started a new career. How's that going so far?
Well, I'm sitting here staring out at the absolutely most beautiful view in the world of a huge old historic barn against a sunset on the East Coast. So I'd say it's going pretty well. You know, it's I didn't really intend to stay this long, maybe. Wasn't quite sure how it would work out, but that's, you know, kind of the way life took me. And I still get into New York pretty often, at least once a month. So,
yeah. Nice.
And more these days with my book.
Yeah, I was in New York 2 weeks ago for my book and to meet with some other friends out there. So no matter where you live, it seems like if you write books, you end up in New York pretty often.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I've done something similar. I'm looking out at the second most awesome thing or view you could look at. It's Vancouver Island. So I'm looking out over Salt Spring Island and some water. And building an organic farm where I live, because I think that's one of the ways I know to increase my resilience is to live around beautiful stuff. Right. So I'm working on it, much like you are.
Mm-hmm.
What made you make your transition to looking at this nutritional typing sort of thing? What did this?
Well, what happened was really right after I left New York and, you know, left my big glamour job in the city, I moved here to a farm and got sick and started to get basically all kinds of things that I'd never dealt with in my life. You know, I was on a fast track in New York, flying all over the world, you know, running multi-million-dollar business and basically, you know, held it all in. And I moved to the country and started to get incredibly horrible migraines, debilitating migraines, where I was hospitalized actually three times in a year. I also started to get allergy symptoms. I had never had allergies in my whole life. Both of those segued into chronic sinus. So I ended up with 7 sinus infections in 1 year. So I was basically, you know, living on, every time one of these things would happen, I would be at the doctor and living on a fistful of pills, living on antibiotics. Finally, that 1 year when I had 7 in 1 year, I felt great on the antibiotic and horrible off of it. So when you get to the point where an antibiotic is your feel-good drug, you know you've got to do something about it. And, you know, my immunity was compromised, basically. It had thrown off my healthy gut bacteria. So I also started getting sick all the time. You know, every virus, every cold that came around was sick. I would get sick. It affected my fertility. I wanted to have a baby at that time. And, you know, I could get pregnant, but not keep the pregnancy. So it was a very, you know, it was a sad time. And then went through, you know, several miscarriages, which threw my hormones off. And this cycle went on for several years, Dave, where I felt like I was on a roller coaster. I eventually adopted my son. My son is from Russia, and that was a wonderful thing. And within months of bringing him home, I broke into this viral rash, which was mononucleosis. And, you know, and then was still getting all of the other things, you know, chronic migraines. And, I, you know, here I was with this new baby, but then living in fear that a migraine would strike or a sinus would strike, whatever. So went through this lovely period for several years and finally decided to take my health in my own hands. And I had always been interested in nutrition, a student of nutrition, had kind of spent all my free time at, you know, not just health spas to lie around, but, you know, to hike and work with people and work with holistic practitioners and get into alternative medicine. So I really turned back to that, you know, after years of trying Western medicine, really turned back to that and realized that there was something in my diet that wasn't right. And it wasn't like I was eating a bunch of junk food or processed food. I really felt that the way to my healing was going to be through my food. And, you know, when people get sick or when you feel awful or when you're sick, it is very difficult to care about your food, or it's difficult to do what you need to do. And you know that, or you may have worked with people, and you know, we think people that are very sick that need our empathy and need our help to get them good food, because you know, in America, I mean, here we are, what we have to grab if you're not feeling well is not healthy and is not what we should be, right? And it's not what we should be eating if we don't feel well. So I had actually gotten to that point, even knowing what I knew, where I was grabbing what was there and it was not working. So I pulled myself up by my bootstraps and basically recognized that my immunity was compromised and found a holistic nutritionist. Really did the nutrition piece myself. This person was fantastic at compounding supplements, which I did need at the time. I was so, you know, weakened by everything, but really did the food piece myself. And after going through that, and then coincidentally my son going through a period like that where he all of a sudden developed asthma and went from being a healthy, robust little boy to being very sickly, kind of worked with him the way I did. And the thing that we had in common was that we were both dairy intolerant. We both had an intolerance to dairy that was creating an inflammation that was at the root cause of all of those things. And once I figured that out for myself, and then subsequently my child, who is my adopted child from Russia, and it made sense, right? It made sense for his genetics that he might have an issue with dairy. You know, it changed everything. It changed everything for me. And I realized that I needed to share this, that it was something that was profound in my life, in my child's life. If I hadn't done this work, if I hadn't done the hard work of figuring this piece out, I don't know where I would be. I would still be, you know, back there so many pounds heavier and chronically sick all the time and basically living, you know, not living the life that I was meant to live, not feeling the way I'm meant to feel. And my, you know, my son too. So that was my big, you know, moment, my big aha moment was really when it came down to my child. And when I saw what he went through, you know, with the permission of a medical doctor, and saw how changing his diet, removing all dairy from a little kid's diet, which is a tough, can be a tough thing for a mom to do, right? And it was profound. So I ended up going back to school, and my mission became to share good health and how to find good food in America. And, you know, that came through natural cooking school. It came through going back and getting certifications that I needed and wanted to work with people and coach people. And, you know, the rest is history. I started Nutritional Style about 5 years ago. And then have been working on my book, Discover Your Nutritional Style, for the past couple of years.
We have a few things in common there. You know, you've had fibromyalgia and chronic migraines and allergies, and I've had all of those things. I lost 100 pounds and chronic sinusitis for 15 years.
Wow.
So making antibiotics that make you feel better and all.
Yeah, and inflammation.
Yeah, inflammation is underlying everything. And and for me, one of the surprising things that I found, and I, this is top of mind because I finished shooting a documentary. We just wrapped the final shoot 3 days ago, a documentary on environmental molds and how, you know, like a moldy house can actually trigger dairy allergies and can trigger asthma and migraines and all that. And I sort of went back and I'm like, wait a minute, when I was a little kid, I was inflamed and I had nosebleeds all the time and like frequent bruising. And I had all these signs and I lived in a water damaged basement. And I realized that the environment, even when I was a young, you know, very young, you know, 2-3 year old kind of boy, I didn't, like my parents didn't know, I didn't know, but I had all these things going on, the asthma, the rashes and all that. And what did that do to my gut biome? What did that do to my whole like lifespan, whole like evolution and the way my body grew? So I think it had an effect. And when I was re-exposed, my dairy allergies went through the roof compared to where they used to be. It's kind of interesting.
Very interesting.
Do you think that there was a trigger when you left New York? Because you handled dairy well in New York, or were you not healthy in New York either?
You know, I was managing chronic sinus, but not to the level of when after I moved. I think one of the triggers being here in Virginia, first of all, it's a different climate.
Yep.
It is moist. It is humid. And, you know, everyone says if you move to Virginia, everyone who moves to Virginia gets allergies of some kind. Plus, you know, plus we were living on a farm. So, you know, you're exposed to all kinds of things. I actually had a doctor say to me, well, some people just shouldn't retire. Some people shouldn't jump off the fast track. And, you know, when you're in the hospital and you've got a migraine so that they have you on a morphine drip, like you really don't want someone to tell you that.
Yeah.
But I think that's interesting that about the, you know, about the mold and mold and yeast is, I mean, it's powerful stuff, you know, that's very interesting.
How, when you develop nutritional style, I mean, one question, and I have to admit, I'm just not remembering this from having gone through your book. Like there's always a question about candida and do you use, say like nutritional yeast in food? Or do you not, right? Where do you come down from a nutritional style perspective? Like help people who are listening understand, you know, how are you thinking about what is nutritional style and how you would approach something like nutritional yeast versus, you know, canola oil versus some other kind of food?
So specifically nutritional yeast or just candida in general?
Well, let's just walk through what's your approach to nutritional style and then let's zoom down to a couple foods like that.
Okay, so my basic premise for what is your nutritional style, discovering it, is that we're all different. And so what works for me might not work for even my sister or my mother or my best friend. And what started to happen in my practice, you know, after working really with hundreds of women in groups and individually, is that I started to hear over and over women coming to me saying, oh, well, you know what? I mean, I know I should eat this way, but my friend just did this diet and she lost all the weight and I want to try that. And so I started to watch women in particular, but guys too, jump from one style of eating to another without tuning into what was working for them and what their body was doing on a very basic level. So if you bring up something like candida, you know, if you're eating one way, let's say you're on a vegetarian diet, classic vegetarian diet that has maybe a lot of grains, beans, legumes, whatever, and fruits, and you're not feeling great, but you're doing it because you're determined to not eat animal protein, you know, that's not working for you. You know, the same thing for people. A lot of women now come to me, and in fact, I just came from a meeting with a client who is white knuckle fighting to be a raw vegan. And as you, I think you said you were a raw vegan for a while. I was a raw vegan for a while. I write about it in my book. I felt absolutely fabulous as a raw vegan until I no longer did.
Yeah, about 3 months, thereabout?
You know what? Longer. Okay. I was like, you know, I was white knuckling and I was actually coming into my second winter and basically stealing food from my kid's plate and my, you know, my husband. I'm like making these delicious like winter stews for my family and cooking seasonally and then trying to be a raw vegan in Virginia when there's, you know, 3 feet of snow outside. It wasn't working. And so what started to drive me crazy were women like that, you know, because I had gone through this, who were determined to try a particular style of eating and white knuckling it through it when it was clearly not working for them. That's really my entire premise, is that we're all different. Some things work really well for some people and some things don't. And by tuning into our own bodies and what works for us, we can discover our unique nutritional style and it can change. It can evolve. It can evolve as we grow older. It can evolve if we move. It can evolve with the seasons and should evolve with the seasons. And I just got really, really passionate about this because so many people were trying to do something that wasn't ultimately right for them because somebody else told them to do it. So I started to see three different styles of eating emerge from the clients that I was working with. One is what I call a healthy omnivore, which is someone who freely eats animal proteins, but yet we try to make them the healthiest omnivore possible. So that might be, you know, being dairy-free, gluten-free, but needing lots of vegetables, but having animal protein in their diet. Another was what I call a flexible vegetarian, so very much a vegetarian diet where they can tolerate some grains and some legumes and, you know, sort of a traditional vegetarian diet, but yet if they want to have a piece of fish, it's not the end of the world. You know, like it's I like to say it's food, not religion.
Is it true that fish are the vegetables of the sea?
I don't think so.
Oh, darn, I hope not. I'm just kidding. But
no,
there's so
I
many
do love sea vegetables.
There's so many vegetarians who are willing to eat fish. It's like, well, you're not actually a vegetarian really, but it's good that you're eating some fish because you'll get some omega-3s. Like, it's okay. Like, you're not a bad person.
I know. It's like, and that was what was driving me crazy. It's like, you know, you're not like the earth is not going to stop moving just because you ate a piece of fish or, you know, you ate some grass fed meat or, you know, some people who are trying to be vegans and, you know, they might have some fermented cheese or they might have like a piece of salmon or whatever. And they, you know, it's like, they'll say, well, I'm a vegan and we'll go through their meals and there's animal protein all over the place. And I was like, well, you technically are not a vegan, you know, like, let's just drop that label. And so Discover Your Nutritional Style came out of that. It came out of working with all of these women. And what I'm really passionate about is helping people find out and figure out what works for them, you know, which foods and work and don't work. And I think it's just as important to know what doesn't work as it is to figure out what does.
In the Bulletproof Diet, I do this roadmap and a book coming out. I have a list of kryptonite foods, and it shared an awful lot in common with your list of, you know, dangerous liaisons, your toxic and potentially dangerous foods. What are the foods that are toxic and dangerous on your program?
You know, the serial killers, GMOs, processed foods, trans fats, you know, processed corn syrup, processed sugar. I mean, processed sugar is the devil, you know, artificial sweeteners are the devil. I think if anybody, no matter what you're eating, if you can get those things out of your diet, you're halfway there, really. But for a lot of people, it's incredibly difficult, even with the knowledge and science behind it. And then I get into what I call the bad boys of nutrition. And those are some of the inflammatory foods that are commonly inflammatory in a lot of people. So that might be, that's like your dairy, your gluten, your soy, you know, your sugar, processed foods, nightshades. And I think we all owe it to ourselves to figure this piece out and to find out, you know, do you have a legitimate dairy intolerance? Do you have a gluten intolerance? And, you know, you probably have found this too, but so many people don't want to come face to face with that reality. You know, like they are usually they're the ones to tell me like, oh, I need all this help and I can't lose weight and I feel awful. My energy's low. And the first thing out of the mouth is, you know, I just can't give up bread. And I'm like, bing, gluten intolerance.
But can you say addict?
Exactly. And these foods are addictive. You know, they're physiologically addictive to most people. They're producing different things in their bodies that their body continues to want. You know, but for me, it's mystifying that people often know and will come to me and tell me. And then we will work together over time to really, a lot of the work I do is getting people to actually accept that food is as powerful as it is and that it does have as a profound effect on your body as we're saying it does.
It's one of those things where we've almost been taught over the last 40 years that exercise is more important than food. You eat whatever you want. As long as you exercise enough, you're a good person and you'll be thin. And I'm like, I'm a 300-pound guy. And like, I don't know, I work out like 15 minutes a week and I do some weird electricity stuff. But I look better now than I did when I was 18 or 25. And it's all food. Like, really, exercise isn't that big of a variable. Like, it's like 5% for me.
Right. Me too. I mean, as long as I move and do something, I feel great and I feel toned. And I think food has a lot to do with your skin tone and food has a lot to do with your muscle tone, you know, if you're feeding your body the right fuel, your body's producing healthier cells, you know, and your body is, you're going to look younger and you're going to be more toned and you're going to look, you know, your skin's going to be more clear and it shows. So I totally agree. I have a lot of people come to me who exercise too much, who are overtraining and then trashing their bodies with, you know, the wrong foods, as you said, and then, and they're the ones, you know, they have like these amazing physiques, but they look probably 10 years older than they need to, you know?
How do you diagnose overtraining in someone who comes to you looking for diet help, but clearly has, I'll just say, an exercise problem or a stress problem, really, which is what, how that manifests?
It absolutely is. You know, I think I can usually see it on their face. I mean, if you can see it. I mean, you can kind of see that overtrained. Usually the skin is very dry. Their body is in a constant state of inflammation and repair. And so they're not giving, you can tell if they're not giving their bodies the correct nutrients to, you know, to cool all of that inflammation. If you're not giving your body a break, if you're not adding some balance in, yeah. I mean, you're usually the face. I mean, you see it in wrinkles and dry skin and bumpy skin, and they don't have that glow that they want, but they have great bodies.
Yeah, it's easier when you're young. That's for sure. I have a good number of people who come to me who are phenomenally successful. They're like around 30, and you know, they've burned a lot of their sort of youthful vigor, and they're like running companies and they're running, you know, Ironmans and training. And it's like, no, but guys who are professional triathletes, they like train and sleep, and that's all they do. And they eat, train, sleep, and to try and put that on top of running a company and being a young parent and all that stuff, it does come from somewhere. And, you know, maybe you want to, because it comes from your chi. You can only do it for so long before you start to break. And then you can see it in their face, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and their chi is not unlimited, you know.
Do you use lab testing for food allergies?
You know, I don't. I know a lot of nutritionists do. I don't. I do. I think that even if I were to, I think the best way to tell is to do it yourself and remove the food completely 2 to 3 weeks and then add it back in. And when you do that, it's like, aha, hello, you know, guess who has a dairy intolerance or, you know, whatever it is. But, you know, again, the crazy thing with that is that a lot of people still, and the smartest people in the world, will still get in there and try to figure out how it possibly could have happened and not have been what they just worked 2 to 3 weeks to prove. You know, like that. I'm not kidding. Like the smartest people in the world will say, well, do you really think so? You know, I mean, I did have a stomach ache when I ate that bread, but gee, I don't know, because, you know, I've had a whole lifetime of not having a stomach ache. And it's like, whoa, that's the whole, you know, the whole reason you went without bread for 2 or 3 weeks and then added it in is so that you could see how you, you know, genuinely react to this. But it's funny.
I try to overcome that resistance in people using the data. And if they don't use the blood test, I put out a free app called Food Detective that looks at your heart rate after a meal, and if you eat something you're sensitive to, your heart rate elevates above 16 beats per minute. So you can get like the rationalists who are like, well, it's something else. But then if they had bread 4 meals in a row and it always elevated, they can't say, well, I had coffee that meal and I ran the next meal. Like, they run out of excuses after a while. Like, okay, like I guess the data is kind of in, and they have to face reality because they have a mirror, and the mirror is in the form of data versus the mirror that you can see when you look at them and like your face looks broken. Like, right. You can see someone who's drained. But it's like a delicate dance when someone really doesn't want to give up their drug of choice, which may be gluten, it may be dairy protein, casein, and it could be corn or sugar or whatever it is, right?
Mm-hmm. What's your app? We all need your app.
It's called Food Detective. It's on the iPhone only. I'm working on the Android version, but awesome. It's free. I'm like, I just want people to not walk around inflamed all the time. So I'm not trying to sell anything here, but
No, I want to share. I mean, I'll be sharing this with my people. Oh, I want.
Thank you.
No. We need to share that. I think that sounds great.
There's so much you can do when you get rid of the baggage of all these allergies, because as you know, because you've done it for yourself, it's like your willpower that you were holding, that you were using that willpower to push against something. Like, you remove all those inflammation things, and all of a sudden, like, I don't have to push that hard. Like, I can move more things now.
Yeah.
And for me, you know, as an entrepreneur and a dad, and a guy who didn't have that when I was younger, and to have it now, this is kind of fun. Like, I'm having a party.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that once you do remove those things and you get to that point, as you said, it's easier to sustain. Like, people say, well, how do I do it? And, oh, it's so difficult. And, oh, I just don't have the energy for that. And it's like, No, you know, I mean, it's like anything else. It's like a muscle. Once you know how to do it and you make it a part of your life, then it's easy, you know, and you feel so good and you feel like crap when you don't, that, you know, what's the option? Like, why do you want to feel like crap? So.
Yeah. Once you recognize not feeling crappy, that really motivates you to feel good. And that was my experience as well. But here's something else that I'd love to chat about. You talk a lot about cleansing. So the way you do cleansing, like how do you do a cleanse? What is a cleanse according to a nutritional style approach?
So, you know, so just like in the same way that people have different nutritional styles and different ways of approaching what they eat or their diet, if we do a cleanse together, you know, I break my cleanse into different levels. So if you are coming to me from a processed food, you know, you're eating fast food or you're not eating a lot of fruits and vegetables and you're coming to me eating a lot of animal protein 3 times a day. So we're going to do definitely a whole food cleanse. I don't believe in taking that person to a juice cleanse is kind of crazy and would make them very sick and then unhappy. And, you know, basically they'd come out of the juice cleanse and be ravenous for food and you've lost the whole ball game. So I generally prefer to do whole food cleanses. If someone is already almost vegan, then we might add in more liquid nutrition than if they, you know, if they're an omnivore and eating meat 3 times a day. I do like the idea of giving the digestion a rest. I love the idea of removing those inflammatory foods that are commonly inflammatory in most people. And the reason I love that is because it's an self-experiment and it's a way of starting to discover what your nutritional style is and which foods are a problem for you. So I absolutely remove all of those inflammatory foods if the person can take it. Believe me, I worked with people who couldn't take that. You know, their systems just wouldn't tolerate it, and again, they'd be sick. So you remove the inflammatory foods. You eat good, you know, 3 meals a day. If you can do one liquid nutrition meal, great. In the morning, terrific. Maybe 2, depending on where you are in your path. And then, you know, go through that for a good 2 weeks. I like the 2-week method, and then ease out of it and learn, you know, use the, what we talked about before about adding back in the inflammatory foods, use that technique to learn what your problem foods are. You know, is dairy a cereal killer for you, or is gluten a problem for you? And the interesting thing is, those inflammatory foods are problematic for so many people that, you know, it's rare to find instances where they're not. How about that?
Yeah. When you look at the total bucket of inflammatory foods, the odds of someone responding to at least one are very large.
Yeah.
And why is it invisible? Like people who have a food inflammation problem and aren't paying attention to this stuff, like, no, I feel fine. Why do they not see these foods that are causing inflammation?
I mean, I think they've had a lifetime of it, you know, and they're not putting the connection between maybe their acne and the pizza that they eat 3 times a week. So, you know, dairy is something I work with a lot of kids and moms with teenagers. And, you know, dairy is something that shows on your face often if you're a teen. You know, moms want to say, well, he eats a lot of candy. Well, maybe, but I'd look at the pizza, you know, I'd take a look at the dairy. And so I think it's, you know, again, it's just people believing that connection, not quite wanting to face that interior, you know, internal inflammation is going to manifest as acne or wrinkles or dry skin or achy joints, early arthritis, sinus infections, migraines. You know, all the different, you know, I have a whole list of what I call early warning signs that tell you that, you know what, there's probably some low level inflammation going on and there very well might be something you can do about it with your food. And I think that is, you know, that's a key thing that I want people to get with this book.
That's a really important message that there's all these things. And if you're colorblind, you'll not know you're colorblind because you've always been that way until you do a little test and you're like, oh, wait, you can see a difference. I don't see a difference. And that's the thing that's kind of the gateway drug to paying attention to yourself. You just need to feel really good for a couple of days and go, wait, like, could that be my normal state? And then start working towards that.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a woman. I mean, I love this story. I've had so many people have a similar story, but this one in particular, we did a cleanse a year ago, and this woman literally called me and she said, "Oh my God." She said, "I was driving to work, and for no reason at all," she said, "I just started laughing." And she said, "I had this feeling like I am just so happy to be here. I'm so happy to be alive." And she said, and I started to say to myself, like, "Are you losing your mind? Like, am I going crazy?" And she said, and then I realized, "Oh my God, it's the cleanse. It's the cleanse I'm on. Like, I feel so good." And it was after about 4 days on the cleanse when she had removed all inflammatory foods and discovered what was possible for her. You know, if you go through life, I mean, so many people feel bloated and achy after they eat dinner, and they think that's normal. They think that they're supposed to feel that way. And if you are eating, you know, if you're eating something that is inflammatory, that's going to do it. You know, but then go have, I remember when I first started to eat raw and vegan and first had like a raw vegan meal, and I had eaten so much food, but I felt so amazing. You know, I felt so light and my gut felt so clear. And, you know, I'll never forget that. We were, you know, I was with a friend of mine. We're just saying, "Wow, like, this is extraordinary. We just ate so much food." You know, this is a long time ago. And yet we feel fantastic. Like, there's no bloating. There's no, you know, there's no icky feeling. We wouldn't want to go lie down and take a nap. And when you start putting those, you know, the cause and effect together for food, that's when stuff starts to happen, you know, when you start believing it.
Yeah, it's at this point, if you're still out there believing that food quality or the type of food you're eating doesn't affect how you feel, you just have to say like you're not paying any attention at all, because it's just there's just too much data. And if you pay attention, you can usually feel it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Holly, there's a question that I ask everyone who comes on the show. And the question is, given all the things you've learned in your life, not just about nutrition and food, what are the three most important recommendations you have to people who want to perform well every single day? What would you tell people is most important?
You know, number one is to be happy. I mean, you can eat all the great food in the world and you can run and you can, you know, have your fitness every day. But if you're miserable doing it, you are doing more harm than good. I really believe that. And it kind of comes back to this white knuckle approach I talked about. If you're overtraining and you're over measuring your food and over obsessing about what goes in your mouth, it's not a good thing. Number two would be to get some movement in, you know, get some movement in every day. Your food, I believe, is your lifeline, and it's the key to living a long, healthful life and being the best you can be. But your body needs to move. It was designed to move. Sitting is the new smoking, and, get up, get out of your desk, you know, move. And then number three is figure out your nutritional style. Believe it, you know, believe your body. When your body tries to tell you something, listen to it and honor it, because our bodies are wise. You know, and they know what they want. They know what they need. If something is wrong, take a hard look at your food. And if that doesn't work, try something else, but get help. You know, there are a lot of great health coaches, nutritionists, and a lot of fantastic advice. Nutrition is a new field. It's a new science. And, you know, as you have exhibited, we're learning more and more every day. So, but pay attention to what goes in your mouth. That's the key.
All right. Wonderful advice, Holly. Where can people find more info about your book? Where do you want them to go to pick up a copy and check out some of your work, or like, just where can we learn more?
Yeah, come meet me. Come see me at hollythompson.com, and that is HollyThompson.com. You'll see a link to buy my book there. The book's available at Barnes & Noble and on Amazon.com. It's called Discover Your Nutritional Style. There's a fun quiz to take on my site, and you know, lots of weekly blogging and notes that go out, and I'm a connoisseur I like to think of myself anyway as a connoisseur of all things, things healthy. So beauty products and even down to, you know, home cleaning products. I really believe in a holistic nutrition lifestyle. So yeah, come visit me there. Love to see you.
Thanks, Holly. Have an awesome day.
Thanks, Dave. It's been great seeing you here.
If you're looking for a way to know which foods are making you weak, check out the free app called Bulletproof Food Sense. This app is free. It's called Bulletproof Food Sense, and it's available on the iPhone store.
Did you know that Cyber Monday didn't even exist before 2005? And now it's the ultimate online shopping day of the year, even bigger than Black Friday? It's true. In fact, last year's Cyber Monday was the biggest online shopping and savings day ever. And now this December 1st, I'm upgrading Cyber Monday to help you hack your holiday shopping list by kicking off a special online event with exclusive savings. The savings continue on December 2nd, when, in celebration of the Bulletproof Diet book launch, we're kicking off a 12 days of Bulletproof. That means you'll get great 24-hour savings on a different product in the Bulletproof online store every single day from December 2nd through December 13th. And in the spirit of giving, you can even save 25% more on top of the daily discounts and cross up to 12 names off your gift list all at once by getting the entire bundle of products with just one click of your mouse. If you haven't already, just make sure you sign up for email updates at bulletproof.com or like Bulletproof on Facebook to make sure you get all the details. Then just mark your calendar to watch your email inbox and the Facebook page starting December 2nd for your invitations to each of the 12 days of Bulletproof. Thanks for listening, and I'm excited to help you give the gift of Bulletproof this holiday season.
The Human Upgrade, formerly Bulletproof Radio, was created and is hosted by Dave Asprey. The information contained in this podcast is provided for informational purposes only and is not intended for the purposes of diagnosing, treating, curing, or preventing any disease. Before using any products referenced on the podcast, consult with your healthcare provider, carefully read all labels, and heed all directions and cautions that accompany the products. Information found or received through the podcast should not be used in place of a consultation or advice from a healthcare provider. If you suspect you have a medical problem or should you have any healthcare questions, please promptly call or see your healthcare provider. This podcast, including Dave Asprey and the producers, disclaim responsibility for any possible adverse effects from the use of information contained herein. Opinions of guests are their own, and this podcast does not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests. This podcast does not make any representations or warranties about guest qualifications or credibility. This podcast may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products or services. Individuals on this podcast may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to herein. This podcast is owned by Bulletproof Media.